This Labor Day at Lowe's, shop member-only doorbuster deals for a limited time. Save $50 on an Ego string trimmer, now $169. Plus, get 50% off select Holland pavers. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, Labor Day doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 9-1 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Welcome back to the Ryer on YouTube channel, where it is time once again for Second Helping, the show of choice for fans and followers of the number one league in all of collegiate athletics, the Southeastern Conference. Travis Ryer back with you live on a Wednesday night, August the 13th. Joined, as always, by my great friend and co-host, Mr. Brent Beard. Brent, longtime college football analyst, most recently for First Coast News down in Jacksonville, Florida. Brent, also a longtime voter in the race for the most prestigious individual honor in collegiate athletics, the Heisman Trophy. And Brent, we may get into some Heisman Trophy talk because based on our friends in the desert, looks like about half, or if not more, of the top 10 of the preseason favorites for the Heisman Trophy originate from the SEC. And, you know, when you think Heisman Trophy, you think most of the time anyway, you think quarterback.
Yeah,
and there's certainly been plenty of quarterback news. Some of it welcomed on some fronts, and some of it not so much.
No, that's the truth. I mean, Ty Simpson is a new quarterback at Alabama. Jackson Arnold is doing well at Auburn. We've got a situation at Florida where their quarterback, frankly, is Trav one day is in, one day is out.
DJ Lagway,
and that is an issue, and certainly the biggest issue of all comes at Oklahoma, where you've got a situation there to where I don't think that John Mateer is going to be suspended unless they find out a whole bunch of more stuff than we're talking about. But I mean, it was what, 2022? When you read the stories that and he was a freshman then, and basically the Pac-12,
Washington State.
So I mean, look, everybody deserves a little mercy and grace, and I think unless they uncover a lot of other stuff, they ought to let that go. But Trav, the problem is, as you know, at this late date, you know, they don't pull it out from underneath the pile and be able to take look doing anybody any favors, do they?
Now, the NCAA, traditionally, this isn't good. Mm-hmm. Now, I would argue that this isn't the same NCAA either.
There
was
not
a time not all that long ago that a compliance department, let's say at Oklahoma, would say, even if this is categorically not true or it's not an issue, we got to sit you until we can prove that it's not true. That isn't the case anymore.
No.
John Mateer basically, between practices, issued a statement denying that this was about gambling. If you haven't heard the reports involving potential issues with John Mateer and his eligibility based on per alleged or potential gambling issues that he's had in his past as a collegiate athlete. Now, these emanated from Venmo and some transactions that took place in the past with Mateer, in which he actually labeled them, you know, sports gambling. And now he's saying that, look, you know, that wasn't, it was kind of in jest, whatever. Well, it's not so funny right now. I will say this, you know, when I see Oklahoma mired in controversy, it kind of takes me back to Barry Switzer, which makes me think maybe more than ever, Oklahoma's back. This is this tells us OU is really back. OU embroiled in scandal. Yeah, that's the OU I knew that was winning championships. So, no, in all seriousness, though, this is something you don't want to deal with with what we talked about it just a minute ago, 9 or 10 days before college football cranks up, and OU thinking probably more about week two and that visit from Michigan.
Absolutely.
To Norman. And you think about the options beyond John Mateer. Again, I'm not as convinced that they have an issue until it becomes an issue. In the past, it was an issue just on its face like it is now. You had a problem 20 years ago if this was a situation. 2025, I need to see more to think that it's a real issue for Mateer and OU. But if it is, well, you look at the options, I guess, at quarterback again for OU, Michael Hawkins. We saw him last year. We saw some good from Michael Hawkins, and we saw enough bad that he was benched, I think, later in the season. As you said earlier, you alluded to Jackson Arnold. He has, of course, since moved on to Auburn, where he will likely be, I would think, the starter for the Tigers on that Friday night in Waco coming up against the Baylor Bears. You've got Whit Neubauer that has joined that quarterback room at Oklahoma, courtesy of Mercer. Spent last season at Mercer. He was a SoCon freshman of the year. Big dude, 6'6", 230. So that's your quarterback room right now. If you're Oklahoma.
And they desperately need to get him out, John Mateer. And now, look, we think they're going to be better. And the reality is, Trav, they're going to be much better with their receivers. Now, frankly, a lot of those receivers were done. Now this for those of you who are tuning in and you haven't gone through these battles like Travis and I have, what used to happen is they would withhold the player. Correct me on this if I'm wrong, but they would withhold the player, Travis, and they would basically be shaking in their boots, hoping that the decision would go their way. Now what happens is, schools have realized, well, it's on the NCAA to prove this.
Yeah, prove it.
And they may not have enough to prove it. So in the meantime, we're going to practice it.
Yeah, once schools learn they could win in court, kind of changed the landscape, I'd say, in collegiate athletics as a whole. But certainly as a sort of trickle down to a situation like this. And again, that's what you expect OU to kind of do here is, okay, well, if you think we have an issue, you need to prove it. And we're not just handing over. Schools and programs used to hand over smoking guns to the NCAA. Take us out, you know.
Yeah.
They figured out, these programs and these schools figured out, nope, everybody goes quiet, get our stories straight. And, it's not a lie if you stick with it. That's kind of become the defense in the last 10 years or so.
I agree, and I'll be brief about this, but this is a hot button issue for the NCAA. They now look with the NCAA. They do some good things. They do some bad things, but they don't want to have this appearance that they are condoning cheating in any way. Or when I say cheating, what I mean is they're promoting gambling somehow. And they're very careful about that. The NCAA also allowing gambling sites and so forth.
They've gotten into bed with it.
They've partnered
up with it. Now, I understand from an integrity perspective, you really can't have players betting on games involving especially their teams.
Yes, exactly.
That's where you have the biggest problems, the potential for point shaving, things like that. I get that. But, the NCAA – in sports in general, remember when big games and teams even wouldn't go to Vegas? Like the NFL would not have a team in Vegas.
Yeah.
Well, they've got an NFL team in Vegas now.
They do.
They've got an NHL team in Vegas. They're about to have a Major League Baseball team in Vegas. So those days are in our past, right?
They are. There's no doubt about it. Now, on the field with Oklahoma, after Illinois State, as Travis mentioned, a huge game with Michigan that they've got. Then they play at Temple. And then, frankly, because of their conference status, an even bigger game than the Michigan game, I think, is the Auburn game. Because it's a conference foe, and they need to get off to a good start. And then, Trav, we know what they've got in October with Texas and South Carolina and Ole Miss and Tennessee and Alabama. My stars. So Oklahoma getting off to a good start is paramount for them, is it not?
Yeah, and as big as Michigan is, you got to beat Auburn. Because yeah, you basically allowed your starting quarterback to walk out the door to Auburn. Mm-hmm. You feel like you upgraded immensely.
Yeah.
As you said, you're feeling much more like yourself at some positions around the quarterback than you did even going into last season. Yes. So high stakes game for a couple coaches, yep. Brent Venables,
yep.
Hugh Freeze.
Yes.
In that matchup with the Sooners and Auburn there. In SEC action. Wanted to talk to you, too, about a couple of those other situations with quarterbacks. You mentioned Florida and this seemingly ongoing uncertainty with DJ Lagway, dating back to the end of last season, really, throughout the offseason, into fall camp. What is that looking like now, as best you can tell? And it also sounds like a young backup, a young freshman, Tremel Jones from Mandarin High School in Jacksonville is making a push to maybe become that number two guy on the depth chart.
Well, and look, they need a solid number two, frankly. And I think that's going to be extremely important for them. Now, the good news at Florida, as Travis mentioned, it's not only a quarterback, but Vernell Brown, the third, is one of the emerging players right now. Dane Mitchell, is full go, we understand now.
And hurt, right? Those receivers, Dallas Wilson and some of the – yep.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And Tremel Jones, as we're talking about here, more reps of the first and the second unit, frankly – now Aaron Childs has gotten a lot of good publicity, and he has been impressive so far. But Trav, the big thing is with Lagway. I mean, we've heard a little bit about him practicing, and then that he's not practicing. So, and again, the good thing is, unlike last year when they opened with Miami, they've got two teams they should beat before they get into. Man, this gauntlet of LSU and Miami and taking a week off and Texas A&M. So they really have got to have Lagway going by week three and four, don't they?
Yeah, and I mean, it's highlighted by the situation on the depth chart, right? Yeah. I mean, Tremel Jones, a pretty highly coveted guy coming out of the high school ranks last year. Sounds like Florida's in great shape, too, with a – upcoming five-star maybe in this next cycle. But, Tremel Jones, I'm sure, has a very bright future. But with that schedule, you don't want to find yourself in that situation you were in quickly a year ago after Graham Mertz went out and then Lagway goes out, and then you end up being down to your three. You would think that type of unfortunate quarterback luck would not befall Billy Napier for a second straight year. You talked about also Ty Simpson at Alabama, official now. Didn't seem like much of a surprise there. I talked about it in depth here on the channel earlier today. Your thoughts on Ty Simpson stepping in there?
I think he has earned the right to be the quarterback. I think he has improved greatly. And I think maybe as much as anything else, Travis, for Ty, it's been just the maturity. And Ty is one of these guys, it probably helped him, and not everybody's able to do this, but Ty has come around. He needed a couple years. He didn't really take the reins. He showed some flashes, but it wasn't anything consistent as it is now. And, you know, the interesting thing now, when you look at Alabama's quarterback situation, They're here, and then some of them are gone. Jalen Milroe to the NFL, and then Dylan Lonigan at Boston College, Eli Hosting at Pitt, and Julian Singh, and the jury's still out a little bit on the Ohio State situation. But I give Alabama credit. I mean, Trav, I mean, they may have three or four starting quarterbacks around college football, frankly.
Yeah, Holstein, of those, of that group that you mentioned, really surprised me last year at Pitt.
Yes.
He had a very nice first year as the starter for the Panthers. Lonergan at Boston College, that doesn't surprise me all that much. I really liked Dylan Lonergan when he was at Alabama. It was just such a log jam there at the quarterback position. And he knew as long he needed Ty Simpson to move.
Yeah.
If Ty Simpson had moved on, then Dylan Lonergan is probably the starter right now at Alabama, because I think Lonergan had that kind of stuff. I thought he was capable of handling that job. So that's, to me, is a boon. I know you think about Thomas Castellanos moving on from Boston College to Florida State, and you talk about flash. That was Castellanos, did some really nice things, but I'm not so sure in the long run. I feel pretty confident, actually, that Bill O'Brien in Boston College probably upgraded at quarterback. Yes. In terms of what O'Brien does offensively, I think Lonergan is great for that offense and for Bill O'Brien, who had history. That's where it's not just player movement. It's so much coaching movement that we see and the relationships that, you know, you probably should see coming down the road when a Lonergan goes to Boston College, because he had that relationship with Bill O'Brien at Alabama. You know, it there's familiarity there, and that is certainly impactful. So the Alabama Crimson Tide and Florida State Seminoles will both have new starting quarterbacks when they get together on August the 30th. Brent?
Well, Castellanos, the thing you hear is that he's really good one day, and the next day he's not. He's still very inconsistent. I mean, they like him. He's shown a lot of promise. I'm not sure that will come out in game one necessarily, but I mean, he's in a much better situation. But I mean, Castellanos, when he was at BC, I mean, he said threw for 2,000 one year and ran for 1,000 the same year, Trav. I mean, he had good numbers, but he and Bill O'Brien kind of got
sideways,
as you like to say, which is the perfect word for it.
And by the way, you're not going to win that with Bill.
No, sure not, are you?
Bill's old school still that way.
Yeah. Hey, and look, I'm sure somebody wished him well. May not have been Bill, but they parted ways. Yes.
Castellanos with some talk going into the season opener against Alabama too. He said that Nick Saban, Alabama is not going to have Nick Saban to save him. What he said. Yeah. Wow.
Oh my.
You know, Gus Malzahn. I do think Castellanos is a nice fit probably for what Gus likes to do. But I get the sense that whole thing in Tallahassee is going to be more of a front runner type deal. As long as things are good, Florida State will be good. As soon as things start to go bad, I'm not saying they're going to be a 2-win team again, but perhaps not enough wins for Mike Norvell in his future there in Tallahassee.
Yeah, they may be a 6 or 7 win team, which when you think about them on the verge of going to the playoffs 2 years ago, Trav, that's disappointing for Mike Norvell.
Norvell's got a pretty big number now, doesn't he?
Yes.
Didn't he get the extension after?
Yes, yes.
You know, kind of use that Alabama job.
Yep, that's right.
You know, might be a big check coming Mike Norvell's way if the Noles decide to go another direction. We'll see. You know, maybe the Noles are vastly improved in 2025. SEC talk here on Ryer on YouTube. Travis Ryer and Brent Beard, if you'd like to jump into the comments with your thoughts, suggestions, questions, we'd love to hear from them on a Wednesday night. And you know what else, Brent? It's that time of year where some of the websites, they like to do the power rankings based on roster. And when you think about SEC teams and potential national championship teams from the league, you know, the three teams you hear most often are Texas, Georgia, Alabama, right? And well, according to on3.com, it should be that way because of the top 100 players on those three teams' rosters going into the season. Alabama leads the way in terms of top 100 players with 33. Georgia is second with 30. And Texas, maybe surprisingly, with 27. I mean, they're in that same ballpark. But once you get past those three, there's pretty good drop-off, Brent.
Yeah.
There's Texas A&M with 17. I think people would be surprised to hear LSU with just 15 top 100. So how much stock do you put into those type of numbers from a roster perspective?
I'm going to talk about LSU first. I think Garrett Nussmeier is certainly a quality quarterback. He has proven it so far, but yet the reality is, and this may be his best receiving crew. Shoot, this may be the best receiving crew, Trav, the LSU's had in quite a while for that.
Since you and 19? I remember.
Yeah, I mean, probably.
They had Jamar Chase and Jefferson.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
those are pretty good.
And now Aaron Anderson, who obviously was in Alabama, Chris Hilton, Xavier Thomas, and Nick Anderson's name has been mentioned a good bit. And they look, they ought to be able to run the ball. My question with LSU that we go into almost every year is, and again, they've got Patrick Payton with Weeks, Harold Perkins. The defense ought to be better, but is the defense to be that feared? And look, I give them credit for this. On their board of opponents, they've only got the Clemson game that is uncovered right now because they know how big that game is. They've really basically not won an opener this decade. That they want to change that very badly.
Absolutely. And as we've talked about, the openers have been against legitimate people. So we're not knocking LSU in terms of who they played. It hasn't been amateur hour in the openers against teams like Florida State, when Florida State had it going there for a couple of years. And then, you know, last year, got to beat SC in Vegas.
Yeah, absolutely do.
If you're LSU, that's where you take a little bit of exception with that. So, you know, Alabama, when you look at it from this perspective, ranked eighth in the college in the coaches poll, and most recently in the recently released AP poll, you finish eight with this type of roster. We talked about it all season from a roster perspective. Yeah, Alabama absolutely should be a college football playoff team. And this is the type of information that supports that.
Yeah. I don't think there's any doubt about it. I mean, we talked about Ty Simpson, but there's a group of, and look, Ty Simpson really doesn't have to be Johnny Unitas or Bart Starr. Ty Simpson just needs to play within himself. He's got some really good running backs. Jim Miller, for instance, Richard Young. I think this offensive line is really good. Parker Brailsford, for instance. This wide receiver group is very good. So, I mean, Trav, this is one of those things to where we're getting some good feedback here, by the way, from our viewers.
Ex-Tider and Chad checking
That's
in.
That's right. Yeah. Appreciate that. Appreciate that. But look, still the group that enough people aren't talking about, I still think this Bama defense, Travis, with what, like 9 of 11 starters coming back, is going to be very good.
Put up or shut up for that side of the ball.
Yes.
Because absolutely, a lot of experience coming back. They've only added more talent to that group via the recruiting class, the most recent top five recruiting class for Alabama, some patchwork that was done in the transfer portal along both lines of scrimmage, even the offensive line right now, because Jaden Roberts, the returning starting offensive guard, was out of last Saturday's scrimmage. You're still able to go to a guy like Cam Dewberry, an experienced option that you brought in from Texas A&M at a guard. Geno Vandermark was a guy they brought in last year from Michigan State at a guard. Darian Dalcourt at the center position, very experienced. Caden Proctor, thought to be perhaps a top 10 overall draft pick for the 2026 NFL selection process. Will Conformby, a little bit of an X factor, I would say, for sure, at right tackle. So both sides of the football, there is plenty on paper for this team to be a college football playoff team. But I think being ranked eighth kind of tells you there's some uncertainty when it comes to even with what we've seen from Kalen DeBoer in the past at Washington. That people want to see it before they really believe it.
They do. And look, the other teams you mentioned a few minutes ago, what about Texas? What about Georgia? And that's a lot of the fascinating thing to me. Trev, you would think when I saw Texas being first time they were preseason number one, I thought, what? Really? But, I mean, when you look at their history, and I give Steve Sarkisian a lot of credit what he's done with this bunch, but I mean, they've got the target is on their back right now, but at the same time, they could be very good. They start off with Ohio State, number one team in the country, Trav, a underdog on the road. You don't see that very often.
Pretty solid underdog, too, really. Isn't it like a touchdown?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's sort of contradicts itself. Like you pick Texas to be number one, and then right out the gate, you don't think they're better than who you have in the two spot. Yeah. I get the games on the road.
Yeah.
But Ohio State has plenty of questions to answer, too. More so at the quarterback position, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah.
Julian saying, is he the guy at Ohio State? Sounds like there's still a competition going on in Columbus, whereas at Texas, it's Arch leading the way for the Longhorns. And I think kind of like last year for Texas, especially maybe even more so early in the season, Texas's defense could be the real difference in that game.
It sure could be.
If Ohio State going, a little bit of a coordinator change there too. I know it's a promotion from within for Ohio State at the coordinator spot. And Ryan Day is an offensive guy. That's his background. But could be that Texas defense that kind of leads the way perhaps until Arch and the rest of that side of the ball. Although, Sark's going to have it drawn up ready to go offensively.
And listen, the question I'm going to ask too is Kirby loving some of this, Trav? Everything's on Texas, everything's been Alabama, everything's been LSU, and we think the Dogs will be okay. Gunnar Stockton, he's been around the program for a while. Nate Frazier, the wide receivers, what we think are going to be better. Drew Bobo with the offensive line. Is Kirby relishing some of this, that even though they're rated high, a lot of the attention's on the other echelon of the SEC?
I'm sure they are, because as we talk about the top 100 recruits on these rosters, Georgia with 30 of those and 13 of those are X5 stars. So, but as we know, it all goes back to quarterback too.
Sure it does.
And Georgia is ranked where Georgia is ranked going into the season because there's not a Carson Beck anymore, although he was very up and down a year ago.
There's not
a Matthew Stafford. There's not a year two or so of Stetson Bennett. Gunnar Stockton was in stretches underwhelming. I think everyone was in agreement that, you love this guy's obvious competitive nature. That shot he took against Texas in the SEC championship game where he lost his helmet. I maintain consciousness. I'm still not sure how he did that.
Really?
But can he make enough plays? I also, though, think that perhaps the people around the quarterback position are being undervalued a little bit. And some of the additions, Branch coming in from USC, some of those type of additions, because he didn't have a big year at SC. If he had had the year at SC last year that so many people anticipated from, Zach Branch coming in along with his brother Zion, but especially Zachariah, that would be – he would be a top 10 Heisman Trophy candidate this year. Because he was thought to be that kind of guy last year for SC, and it just didn't happen. So there are some pieces, though, around the quarterback position for Georgia that, again, are probably not being valued as much as they should be. So, Brent, some other stuff I wanted to get into with you on this evening. Did you hear the John Gruden comment? I guess he was addressing the Georgia Bulldogs. He made a trip to Athens. I watched this on his channel, I guess. Yeah. He's got his own YouTube channel like we all do now, right? And Gruden, in talking to the Georgia football team, said he would love to coach in the SEC. Oh, now, when he said that, you know, it was kind of parceled out and sent out as John Gruden wants to coach in the SEC. Maybe he does. I don't know.
No.
But if you watch the whole footage of his talk to the football team, I took it as when he got around to the punchline, so to speak, of it being more of a setup for the message he was delivering to try to motivate that football team. He said it in the context of, I would love to coach in the SEC because I would love – I dream of coaching in the SEC is what he said exactly. I dream of coaching in the SEC. I dream of coaching in the SEC so I can come into a place like Sanford Stadium and beat Kirby Smart and his Bulldogs on their home field.
And then
he transitioned into, but you know why, you know, but you know what you guys are. You guys are the nightmare. So he was using the dream nightmare sort of thing. But look, I don't think he would probably have a huge problem getting a job in the SEC if that's what he wanted to do. But that burned up the ether there for a little bit, those comments.
The thing about Gruden is, Trev, doesn't Gruden really need to get back in the next year or two? Gruden doesn't need to take another 5 years off and be the quarterback guru for people. Type thing, if he really wants to get back in, and would he get the quality job that he thinks he would, or would he get it, or Trev, would he get a job knowing that he is going to lily pad his way to another job two or three years later?
To me, John Gruden, I guess you could say he could take the Saban approach, but at least with Saban, he had been a college coach more than he had been a, at least in terms of a head coach, than an NFL head coach. So, I agree. I think that's probably part of what he's doing. You've seen him become more visible.
Yes.
He probably was put in timeout for a while regarding the controversy with his departure from Las Vegas or the Raiders. And it's also tough, as we both know, sometimes it can be tough to get a job when you're in litigation with a previous employer and or,
no question.
The league or the body that was part of that. So he still got to get through some of that probably. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like in the last few days that has taken some steps towards being resolved. But I don't have any doubt he would be attractive. I just don't think, as much as maybe some people, his intent in speaking to the Georgia football team was that he was just putting it out there. I want to coach in the SEC. Right. I dream of coaching in the SEC. Does that mean I think he wouldn't coach in the SEC? No. But there was a context to it that I think maybe didn't get picked up on as much.
Well, I think the other reality for coaches who really want to get in, this is not the same atmosphere that people had 10 to 15 years ago. I mean, you've got entities now, and I'm not saying you can't hire people to help you and deal with this, but I mean, you're talking about coaching contracts that are dealing with NIL, and you're dealing with issues now, Trav, that coaches didn't deal with. And again, some of them probably won't admit it, but I think that's probably some of the reason some of these guys have retired over the last two or three years is they've seen this stuff coming and they want to leave that to someone who has more energy to deal with it.
Maybe he sees a guy like Belichick and thinks, hey, why not? You know, would John Gruden, for the sake of just just rhetorically and not rhetorically, but just maybe throwing some hypotheticals is what we're thinking.
Yes.
Let's say Mark Stoops moves on from Kentucky.
Yeah, right.
Would John Gruden even a little bit dreams about coaching? Is that the type of job in the SEC that he would take, you think? Or is he thinking, you know what, let it get a little hotter around like a guy like Brian Kelly LSU? Does it have to be, in your opinion, would you think it would have to be one of the top five or six jobs in the SEC for a guy like Gruden to take that plunge? Or do you think, look, give me Kentucky if it doesn't get better up in Lexington?
I think he would take a Kentucky just to get back into it. And look, hello, when you have to pay, but be at Kentucky before someone else came for him, if they had some success.
Yeah.
I think he would be okay. But Trav, my thing is,
Gruden kind of reminds me of the offensive Mark Stoops. They kind of mimic one another from what I can tell.
And my question is, Trev, with the 17, 18, 19 year olds today, I think they know who he is. I mean, he's involved enough with the NFL to where they recognize the name, but that's why I'm saying, wouldn't it behoove him if he wants to get back into it? And obviously he can't do anything this year, but I would think, he makes a round to a lot of these schools, talks to the players, and I think he needs to be back in it by next year. Is that fair?
When I was watching the address that he had to the Georgia players, I thought that. I thought, I wonder how many of these guys even really know who John Gruden is. And so I do think that would be maybe a legitimate concern for him. Mm-hmm. I think that's why it's a positive. He's really keeping his face and voice out there like he is right now. And getting around like he is, not just doing shows, but actually going to different camps and NFL, college. But I'll say this, in watching that address of the Georgia football team, the guy still got juice.
He does.
It was impressive to watch him talk to that football team. Had a fun message, had an engaging message. Still knows how to work a room.
Well, he does.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. So, well, Brent, anything else before we get out of here on a Wednesday night?
Well, I mean, the amazing thing is we are basically, what, a week and a half from week zero, and then which means we're 2.5 weeks from the season. I am, Trav, impressed that we've got, what, at least half a dozen SEC teams on the road.
Yeah.
Now Tennessee is not exactly on the road, but they're not playing in Neyland either, but by playing in Atlanta. But LSU on the road, Bama on the road, Auburn on the road on a Friday night. It's going to be a very important week for the league. There's no doubt about it.
Auburn and Alabama taking new starters at quarterback on the road, although Jackson Arnold has started some football games in his past, if in fact, he is that guy. Ty Simpson, not so much. You got to go back a little ways to find Alabama's last new starting quarterback who made his debut behind center in a true road situation. So I know we're here. We're just about right on the cusp of it. We look forward to it. We'll have continuing content, college football content, SEC, you name it, right here on the Ryer on YouTube channel. Brent, look forward to doing it again real soon.
Me too. And I certainly hope Pops is doing well. And give us about the 30 seconds on Pops and how he's doing.
Trav. Pops is, I don't know what Pops and Nana are doing. They're like reverse aging or something. Like they've gotten into the streaming platform shows like Netflix and Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
And so they'll stay up. they stay up to 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning watching because, you know, you can just binge, you can binge watch these shows.
Right. Right.
And so they will not go to bed. And so now they don't wake up. You know, most my grandparents, I'm sure your parents, grandparents.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, my grandparents were up at 5:30.
Oh, yeah.
Even retired, they were up at 5:30.
Yeah.
If you go by Nana and Pops's now before 9 o'clock,
yeah,
you may not get them. They're not up yet. So that's your Pops update. Good old Pops.
And any golf updates, Trav? I know in your YouTube channel.
No, we no par three driver guy lately.
Yeah.
My pal Gary Harris with WVUA.
Yes.
In Tuscaloosa. I talked to him recently and he wanted a par three driver guy update, but par three driver guy hadn't had much time to swing the sticks, some other stuff going on. So we'll get him back out at some point though.
Yeah. Excellent. Excellent. Yeah, but always enjoyed it. It's a lot of fun. And before we turn around, we're going to be back into it again.
Yeah. It's going to be our favorite time where we get to talk games, previews, reviews. I know everyone out there is chomping at the bit like we are, and trust us, we cannot wait at this point. Hey, if you haven't already, hit that subscribe button to the Ryer on YouTube channel. Hit that notifications bell. That way you're alerted to the content as it drops here on the channel. And if you'd hit us with a thumbs up, we'd greatly appreciate that as well. For Brent Beard, Travis Ryer, thanks again. Until next time, so long, everybody.